Thank you. Good morning to you all. Let us prepare our hearts and be still as we come together to worship God and by singing our first hymn, Be Still and Know That I Am God. There are also the words in your bulletin. I think verse 1 will be up there. So we'll stand, please, and sing Be Still and Know That I Am God.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our worship service today. Welcome to those of you who are viewing or listening at home, and to those of you that are present here this morning. May our worship experience this morning grow and strengthen our connections with each other, our connections with what we understand and know of our faith, and our connections with Jesus. Today, we ponder the notion of abundance and what that means for us and how we live. Our focus statement in the bulletin says, as we seek God's way, we move from the fear that there is not enough to the freedom of living within God's abundance. I play Wordle every day. It's an online game where you have 6 tries to guess a 5-letter word. There's a new one each day, and there are no clues. You just begin by randomly typing in any 5-letter word, and it lets you know if those letters are in the word, but in the wrong position, or in the correct position, or not in the word at all. And you keep guessing until you get it. Now, of course, it becomes much harder to make good guesses if the word of the day is one you don't have in your lexicon or don't know the meaning of. So yesterday, I got lucky and guessed 3 letters correctly on the first try. And those letters were in the 1st, 2nd, and 5th positions. Got it right on the first time. That hardly ever happens. Anyways, so I only had to fill in the 3rd and 4th letters. After that, okay, well, I guessed tribe, nope. And then trade, nope. And then truce, nope. And then trove. I only had 1 left, and all of those were wrong. And then I was stumped. So I knew that the word was spelled T-R-O something E. Nothing fit. I simply could not make a word with the letters I had left. So at this stage, I just had to guess. So you just put in a letter. But remember, I only have 6 guesses, so you can't guess too wildly or you run the risk of not solving the word, which is not the end of the world, but you have streaks, you know. It's like adults being like the children on Snapchat. You have to keep doing that every day. So I put in the letter P. It was correct. The word is trope. T-R-O-P-E. And my brother and I share our results, Miles, each day with each other, and I told him I had no idea what that word meant. Do you? I'll let you look it up. Marion does. I don't know. I did have to look it up. So the point of my story is about what words mean, what we understand them to mean, and how that understanding, or lack thereof, affects our actions and behavior. So let's think again about that focus statement. As we seek God's way, we move from the fear that there is not enough to the freedom of living within God's abundance. What does abundance mean to you? I think for many of us, most simply, it means a lot, more than enough. Does your understanding of abundance affect your life, your actions, and your behavior? As we are guided through the service today, I encourage you to contemplate abundance. Is abundance simply a lot? A lot of what? More than enough of what? What is not scarce? What is provided to us? What overflows? What permeates, pervades, and passes through us in our Christian lives to become widespread? As did the fragrance of Mary's anointing oil in the air. Turn with me to the call to worship in your bulletin. Together we seek the way of God. Makes a way in the sea and provides rivers in the desert. God fills our lives with love and beauty. A sweet fragrance fills the air. We live within the abundance of God. So let us laugh and shout for joy as we worship God together. Let us pray. You have assured us, O God, that you make a path in the wilderness, a river in the desert. In the words of Scripture and the experiences of your people, over and over again, the answer was always right under our nose. The provision was always there before we could see it. May we trust in the gifts that have been given. May we trust that they are enough, enough and overflowing to the point that they may pass through us like a river in the desert, like perfume over our Savior's feet. Even now, the fragrance fills the air. May we breathe deeply your abundance. Amen.
We'd like to sing a praise song. Shout to the Lord, and you can actually shout if you'd like to, because we want to praise to the Lord. It's 125 in the Voices Together. It will also be on the screen, and we will sing it twice. Let us stand. Thank you for that wonderful singing. I come home Sundays after church and I can hardly talk because I've been singing a little too hard. So maybe I'll even lose it before we get to the end of the service. The next hymn is a Lent song, is an Easter Good Friday song. And I was thinking, Advent, we often sing Christmas songs way before Christmas, and somehow for Easter, we don't. And I thought, it's still fitting. We look towards the cross, towards Good Friday. So when I survey the wondrous cross, the song we're singing is 323 and 324 in the book. The first part is a familiar one, and then the second song is more what I'll call the chorus. So we're going to sing verse 1, the chorus, 2, the chorus, and we'll end with verse 4 if you're following in the book, but it will be up on the screen.
Please look to the responsive reading in your bulletin. I'll read the light, and you may read the dark. Your ways, O God, are higher than our ways.
Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
We seek God's ways. Lord, move us from our scarcity mentality into your abundant life.
You see that it says blanket blessing in the bulletin, and that is exactly what we are going to do. For the last 10 weeks, many of us have been working on blankets, and that's why you see some color in the sanctuary during the time of Lent when we were trying to reduce the color. However, for this special occasion, we brought some of our best and brightest blankets that we've made. You see them here in the front row, and this one on this stand. Not that this one is superior to any others, but it does look nice, doesn't it? Isn't that pretty? Wouldn't we all love to have that blanket? And for those of you who don't always turn around after you have entered, you might want to turn around and you see more hanging from the balcony up there. You might notice it when we go out, you might not, but I just want to draw your attention to those blankets. Many of them have already been brought to Saskatoon, and these were the ones that we saved because we wanted you to see them. After the service, if you want to come and take a closer look and see how the back is different from the front and how they go together and look at the stitching, and I know you're all very interested in all those details. We are the ones who made them. We love to look at all of the minutiae of what has gone into the blankets. All of those who participated, they're sitting on pins and needles right now wondering, am I going to ask everyone to troop to the front and then have everyone look at them? I think they might refuse, so I won't even bother trying. But I would like to ask that if you in any way contributed to the making of the blankets this season, in any way whatsoever, please rise. Just where you are, in any way whatsoever, and see, look around, these are some, yes, sure. Thank you all. I will read a short blessing and then I will pray a prayer. So the first part is not a prayer. So you don't have to close your eyes. You can lift your head, open your eyes. This is the blessing of these blankets. And if you want to, you can sort of symbolically lift your hands, not too high, towards the blankets. God of all gifts, who teaches us compassion, we are eager to share your care with our neighbors. Infuse these blankets with the warmth of your love. Fill every fiber with the promise of your presence. Make each color vibrant with your hope. Bless each hand who formed these blankets. Bless the creatures, the plants, the land, and the water that went into the making of the fibers. And bless each person who receives a blanket, may the miracle of these simple gifts bring them joy and the knowledge that they are wrapped in your care. Let's pray together. Lord, we are all made in the image and likeness of you. You have made every one of us perfectly, with great detail and intention. May these blankets, made by our hands, remind their receiver of your abundant love and their unique beauty and worth as your child. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are
Now is our opportunity to look at the opportunities coming up, possibly within the next week, opportunities that we have had and that we appreciate. As we mentioned, the blanket making opportunity has completed itself, but we anticipate that next January we'll start again. And for those who are wondering, how can I get involved? You can speak to any one of the women in mission and they'll give you ideas. You don't necessarily need a sewing machine. I have a sewing machine, but I haven't opened it in years. But I can still participate, and there's lots of different interesting ways. So just talk to somebody if you're interested. On the back of your bulletin, you can see the things that are coming up and things that have passed. On Wednesday, again, there is Lenten guided prayer. There will be two more this Wednesday and then the final Wednesday of Lent. On Thursday, there is the Lenten service at Eastside Church. And for those who have been in Women in Mission, who have been assisting with the blanket making, there will be lunch at Casey's. So if the blankets aren't incentive enough, lunch at Casey's, that should get you going for next year. Next year, I want to be having lunch with those women. Say that to yourself. And then in the afternoon, after our lunch, then we will come back here and we're going to have our meeting, our monthly meeting. On April 14th, the Last Supper gathering will be held here in the basement. You are invited to come. Notice the time, 5:30. And we will have a very light, simple meal together. And with COVID, we're COVID cautious. So you can ask what that means. If you are concerned, don't stay away because you are afraid that it will be too cramped or too much interaction or things like that. Speak to someone and we'll try to find ways around that. There is our financial update. And as some of you know, the offering plate sits at the back. If you happen to come in the west door, maybe you don't see it because it's on the east side of the table. Nonetheless, it's still there. And I think we're going to keep it there. We're not going to return to old practices of with the ushers coming forward and passing the plate. So to have that sense of intentionality when we come on a Sunday morning, prepared beforehand, not pressure of the person you're sitting next to in the pew. They're putting something in there. Oh, I better dig in my pocket and throw something in the plate. It's a different kind of giving, and we think about it beforehand. And anytime throughout the week, you are very welcome to give. And also, looking forward, think about your summer plans and when you are available to plan a service or at least tap the shoulder of people that you would like to see participate. Ask, hey, can we form a group and prepare one service in the summer? The yellow sheet is there for you to put your name on. I don't think there are any blocked off yet. I could be wrong. You may have done it already, and I don't know. May 13th, there's women's retreat, and April 7th, that's this Thursday, the webinar, 100 Years of MCC. So if you're interested in watching that on your computer or participating. For those of you who are looking in the Pray For box that is here, as you notice, the prayer for Ukraine and Russia continues. Also, there is one added. This was at the request of MCC, the worsening humanitarian crisis in Ethiopia. Let's continue to pray for them. And if you want to find more information, you can check the news or check the MCC website. They will also give you information. I think there was also some political news this week about the situation in Yemen, which seemed to be a little bit more encouraging. I'm one that is quick to be encouraged and then very disappointed when governments and political leaders don't follow through with the promises, but it seemed that there was a truce, at least for a time, in the country of Yemen. So that was also something that had been high on our prayer priority list. As has been our practice through Lent, just a reminder that we will together pray the prayer of Lenten prayer of confession at the top of the bulletin page at the end of the prayer of the people. I'll let you know when that is. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray because Jesus taught us to pray. We recognize you as Father the way Jesus recognized you. We're so far from being like Jesus, and yet we do desire to follow in his footsteps and to become more and more like him and to be drawn closer and closer to you. And we long to see more and more people being drawn to you, to your love, to your justice, your mercy, your grace, your beauty. And we pray that through our lives and our words and our attitudes, through everything that we are and do, that you would be demonstrated to all who come in contact with us. We ask for your forgiveness when this is not our desire. We pray and we confess our sins and our selfishness and our desires that are not part of your will and your plan, your good plan, your abundant plan. We ask that you would continue to encourage us to trust that your plan is good, that your way is good. We know it is the right way, and we ask that you give us wisdom and insight and understanding as we try to follow it. Life is hard, and we hear about these people who have lost their loved ones, their relatives, and at an already weak time. Death comes in a twinkling of an eye, but the suffering, the reminder, and the pain goes on, and you know that. And you comfort us. Help us to comfort those who are suffering around us. Help us not to shy away from them or run away because we don't want that feeling. Give us your compassion and concern for those struggling around us, in death or in health, in life, so many different ways that people are struggling. Give us eyes that see it because we know you are taking care of our needs. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to give back to you. You don't scorn our little gifts. And we ask for your blessing on the things that we have brought. If it is our very selves, our gifts of participation, or all of the things that we have brought, and maybe some people don't even know about it, our secret gifts to you. We pray that you would give us wisdom also in knowing how to use the resources gathered together and that your kingdom would come. This is our desire. We pray for the other churches who are praying the same things this morning. We pray for Restoration House, and we also pray for Nutana Park Mennonite Church and their leaders. We ask for your wisdom and insight and integrity in leadership. We pray for our world, especially Ukraine and Russia. We pray and we plead that this war would be ended, that it would be over, that it would be stopped, that you would do it. We look to you. And we feel a bit hypocritical because there are wars all over. There are so many people suffering, and maybe we haven't noticed or cared quite as much. We bring those to you now as well. We bring our world to you, our world of suffering and pain. And we pray that you would heal this land. And with hearts full of contrition, we pray this prayer of confession together. Holy One, we seek you while you may be found. We call upon you while you are near. Have mercy on us, O God, for our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways. Forgive us for believing the myth of scarcity. Help us live into your abundance. As we walk with Christ on this Lenten journey, let us see your way more clearly and follow your way more faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I'm reading from The Message. 6 days before Passover, Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus, so recently raised from the dead, was living. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table with them. Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the house. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, even then getting ready to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? It would have easily brought 300 silver pieces." He said this not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds, but also embezzled them. Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You don't always have me." Word got out among the Jews that he was back in town. The people came to take a look, not only at Jesus, but also at Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. So the high priest plotted to kill Lazarus, because so many of the Jews were going over and believing in Jesus on account of him.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who are wondering about the visuals, let me put your hearts at rest. What we were trying to do, what we were aiming for, was that jar of perfume or nard or whatever it was that she broke open. So these are just samples of jars or containers from that era, and they're supposed to bring us back to that time and place, and that thing that Mary did. There are some here, and there are also some at the back. And the one that is falling over is to represent the one that she spilled or that she broke open and emptied when she anointed Jesus' feet. And she did this not thinking about scarcity, but thinking about abundance. Well, at least that's what we assume. We don't know what she was thinking. What were you thinking, Mary? And that's probably what her sister was thinking. Sisters don't always agree with what their younger sisters do. Was Mary the younger of the two? I just thought of that to myself now. It's like, that was an assumption I made, that Martha, being the one who was busy in the kitchen and getting things ready, it says so in the first verse there, that Martha served, Lazarus sat at the table, and then Mary did this action. She broke this jar. I'd like us to think about this whole scenario as an RTF. For those who are computer savvy, you know what an RTF is, don't you? I only see one nodding head. I might already be a dinosaur because I like to save my documents as RTFs in rich text format. That's all. It's just an acronym. You don't really need to understand what that means, but I thought people would, oh, RTF, okay, I know what that is. But we save as. When you have things on the computer, when you put things together in a document, you want to save it, because if you just hit the little X, it disappears and your document is gone. All of those things that you were gathering can disappear. And the computer will ask you, do you want to save this? You don't want to lose this, do you? And you say, no, I don't want to lose it, and I want to know where it's going, so you save as. And I want us to be thinking about that, because we often, unbeknownst to ourselves sometimes, we save things as. We collect experiences and attitudes and all sorts of things, sometimes physical things, and we save them as. And you can put whatever heading on whatever document, but we group things together and we save them and we put them in a safe file up here somewhere so that we can go back to them and refer to them again and again and again, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. Sometimes we make assumptions about people. So-and-so is, and then fill in the blank, and then everything that they do after that, we go, aha, I knew it, save as, and we add it to the document about that person or place or whatever. I'm inviting us to think about this event as our RTF document, and we want to save this as an example of moving, of changing, of turning from scarcity to abundance. The first thing is the R. Now, if you think R&R, okay, rest and relaxation. I need a little R&R. This R&R is recognize our resources. Recognize your resources. Here in this story, in this scenario, we have people with different resources. Martha had the gift of serving and putting things together, and that was her resource. Lazarus had the resource of perhaps being a very social kind of person. And he had friends, and he liked to sit together and chew the fat, shall we say. Some people just have that knack. Others don't. That's a resource. Mary had the resource of this costly perfume. She obviously had the resource of the finances to get the perfume in the first place. But here are a few different people, and they have different resources. Look at yourself and ask, what is my resource? What resources do I have? What is in your hand? God asked Moses. What did Moses have? He had a staff. It was just a stick, maybe a crook. What's in your hand? Sometimes you've seen those posters, the U.S. wants you, or the Army wants you. I can't remember what it says, but it's pointing right at you. And some of us are good at that and saying, God wants you. God wants to use your resources. And we look around and we can see all the resources that other people have. Let's pull ourselves back from looking at what others resources are and really take a look at ourselves. What is my resource? Is it time? Is it space? History? Money? Ideas? Attitude? Hospitality? Safe haven? These are resources. And there are so many more. You could go on and on. What is in your hand? What is the resource that you have? Sometimes when we are using our resources or expending them, it's not always a good outcome. Or others don't think it's a good outcome, and we'll get to that. I'd like to refer to it now, but I really need to move away from it. I'm thinking about the odor, but let's move on from that. When we're thinking about our resources and the things that you have in your hand, what is your attitude? What's the voice? What is the message that is going on or that you're telling yourself about those resources? Are you listening to the VOP? I'm full of acronyms today. I don't know, it just all came together that way. Because I was thinking about the propaganda machine that is happening in Russia and that's happening in Ukraine and probably in the US, the propaganda machine. Are we listening to the propaganda machine or the VOA? And I used to listen to the Voice of America. Living overseas, English news was just such a wonderful thing to hear. I could understand every single word. I knew the whole idea. But are we inadvertently maybe listening to the propaganda that is telling us, oh, you don't have enough, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough room, I don't have enough money, I don't have any good ideas, I don't. And maybe you're not thinking, I don't have enough, but maybe I won't have enough, present and future. Fear of the future, or maybe it's fear of criticism. Look at verse 5. Why has this perfume not been sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? That was such a better use of these resources. Who did this? Who put this here? Who used this? Criticism. Are we listening to those voices? That's another kind of propaganda, which will keep us as prisoners of scarcity and refuse to even imagine the possibility and the reality and the truth of abundance. It will keep us from living into and leaning into and just reveling in God's abundance. That's recognizing our resources. There is TNT, the RTF. The T is the transforming. We are transformed, but also tested. If you're writing scriptures down, we won't be looking at, but referring to Philippians chapter 3. Because in Philippians chapter 3, which is a favorite passage of many of us, Paul is talking about being known, being fully known. But that comes as I am transformed. As I get to know Christ more and more fully, I am also being fully known. God knows the resources he has given to us. He knows the opportunities he is placing right at our door. And he knows that there's more to come. He's longing to pour out blessings on us. But we're looking backwards and we're remembering that when we tried this before, or so-and-so said this when I did that, and I don't want to feel that again. That's a kind of test. But when we are ready to say, these resources, whatever it is, I'm ready to offer it. I'm ready to say, this is what I have. Here it is. There's one phrase in the leader material, I just loved it. In quotation marks, this is Jesus, nothing else matters. And they're putting these words in Mary's mouth when she decided to anoint his feet. This is Jesus. Who cares about all these other silly disciples or the people that are looking with scorn on what I am offering? I'm not looking behind me. I'm not looking at the history of what people have said and done to me in the past. I'm just looking here. I, myself, not my circumstances, not my resources, but me. I am being transformed by my proximity to Jesus. This is Jesus, and nothing else matters. That is the living into the abundance, and that is what changes us. It transforms us. It doesn't transform, oh, suddenly we're just living a life full of roses, but it transforms us. It changes our attitude. Those of you who read Rejoice read this passage this morning, and the title was Perspective is Everything. The perspective that we have on the things that we have are changed or transformed as we are closer to Jesus and known more fully. I forget what's behind. I forget about the wonderful things I did in the past. Paul is saying, it's all like rubbish to me. Oh, no, it's not to me. When we sit and we talk, what do we talk about? We don't necessarily talk about our future. We talk about all the wonderful things of the past. The great things that we did, the places we have been, on and on. Because that makes me feel good about myself. I've accomplished something. Paul says, forget about the past. The past is past. Look towards the future. And we will be transformed. But we will also be tested. This transformation also tests us. And it tested Mary here. She was ready to be transformed because she was so close to Jesus. And she just broke that. There was no history of anyone doing this. And she just decided, this is what I want to do. And everyone knows her by this action now. But the odor filled the room. The whole odor filled the room. Everyone knew what had happened. Imagine you are making a roast turkey and you have your whole family gathered there and somebody spills perfume. How do you feel? Does anyone here relish that? Anyone here happy about that transformation? No, we're disgusted by it. I used to go to KFC back in my history. And as we sat at KFC, not with this person, a different friend of mine, we would sit at KFC and eat our chicken. And the person with me was faster at eating than I was. And he would take the little wipey thing, the little napkin, and you know what they're like, right? You open that up and you wipe your hands, wipe all the grease off. Who can eat chicken when someone is wiping their hands with one of those cleansing cloths? That's gross. Well, can you imagine this room? They were having a feast for Jesus. They were gathered to eat, gathered to share. And then Mary goes and does this. This was a real test. And maybe our offerings are also going to test us. And not everyone will be happy. None of this matters. This is Jesus. And the F of the RTF, I want us to save this. Recognize that we have resources and that our resources and our offering of the resources can transform us as our proximity to Jesus gets closer and closer. But focus on the future. Because God says, I am the God who, for those of you writing texts down, Isaiah 43, I am the God who makes a way in the desert. I am the God who brings life where there was no life. This is characteristic of who I am. This is who we know, this God. Not just what God has given me. That's scarcity mentality. But focus on the future and this God who says, I am the God who does this. Can't you see it? I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do something new. Look forward, move forward with me. That's what Paul says, straining for what is ahead. If We are hanging on to scarcity. We don't want to move ahead because we might not have enough, might not even have enough breath for tomorrow. But when we lean into the freedom of God's abundance, then we can look ahead as we travel with the God who makes a way in the desert. Don't look back. Don't remember the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. May we experience that freedom of living in God's abundance. Amen.
Thank you, Lois, for those words. And we want to respond with the song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. It's the one that was to be sung before. It will be up on the screen. And the third verse, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Let's stand, please. How deep the Father's love for us.
This is the sending. From this time and place into whatever awaits, may we follow God's way of abundance. May we recognize messages of scarcity as lies and open our eyes to the abundant life of God in this world. As we go, know that our God of the wilderness remains with us on the way. Amen.
The Lord lift you up, the Lord take your hand. 73 and sing the journey. 73, we'll sing it once.
Thank you. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.